accession number 17358, Reel 2.
Mr. Flanagan, Reel 2. So when the bombardments were going on, what were you all doing in the engine room?
Well, the engines were still running. We were at anchor watch, ready to move out at any time. We were getting as to the shore as close as possible and just hold the ship at a slow pace along the shore and then back again, you know, just bringing the guns to fire. You'd be doing your normal duty down there, looking after the boilers, changing the guns, the oil guns, and oil in the pumps. You're just doing your normal routine work.
Did it do any damage to the ship?
No, just shook us about a bit. It was because you get a broadside on a destroyer. It's quite fierce. It's four guns, 4.5s. Shakes everything.
Was there any question of any return fire?
No. No, we were firing into a jungle, and the army spotters would tell us whether we were falling short or. And at the end of the exercise, they would send in the troops to mop it up. We never saw anything. We once in a while, as we were cruising along the coasts of Malaya, we would find a lookout point that had been built by the communists. So we would drop a party ashore and wipe that lookout tower out and search the area for any communists in the area, you know. But we were not jungle trained, you know.
Was that a party of Marines or seamen?
Seamen, yeah. Anybody, stokers, anything.
Did whoever you were,
whoever was off duty, yes, I did. Yeah.
What happened?
Well, you're going through a jungle, like maybe a little island off the main coastline of, and they had a lookout tower. And you'd go in and destroy that lookout tower at any other buildings that were in there that weren't owned by the natives. You had it's quite a difficult job to find out whether they were communists or just natives of the island. But we used to knock the tower out anyway.
How did you do that?
Physically. Just pull it to pieces, knock it down.
With your hands?
Chop the tree down, whatever.
Just with your hands?
No, with axes, you know. Yeah, yes, it would be.
What was it like in the jungle?
Frightening. For sailors, untrained. You know, it's... wherever we went, if we had any leisure time and we're sort of doing the coast of Malaya, some glorious beaches along there. They would land the party ashore and you'd swim in and play on the beach, you know, and enjoy a few hours ashore. But you had an armed escort with you all the time, everybody was issued with a weapon when you went ashore, just in case anything happened.
Did anything happen?
No, not to us.
What kind of weapon was this?
A Lanchester. It was like a Sten gun. Not very safe.
How big were these parties then?
Going ashore, well, maybe 20, 30, 40 people.
Any trouble with creatures or animals ashore?
Snakes. Yeah, so we had one encounter. Walking along the shore, and I picked a stone up and threw it at a tree that was growing through a rock, that it had split the rock and it was growing through it, and I just threw a stone at and out came this python. You can imagine what we were like, we all got our guns and shot it. And then we had our photographs taken with this snake. I think there's about 12 of us shoulder to shoulder, and one had the tail and the other had the head. It was quite a big one.
What were these lookout towers made out of?
Wood. Yeah. Wood and leaves and...
How high were they?
Quite high. You know, on the top of a palm tree, something like that. But if we got any information from the army, we would go and either land a party ashore or fire a few salvos into the jungle under their guidance.
So you mean it was like a tree house in a tree?
Yes, yes.
How many of these shore parties did you go on?
I only went on two.
This sounds like it was in 48?
Or 48, yes.
Can you say something about the consort as a ship and what it was like to live in it?
Well, I thought it was wonderful. I enjoyed it thoroughly. It was a great ship, great crew, good lads. But I went aboard the Cavalier, which is in Newcastle, which is a sister ship of our ships. And I was amazed when I looked and thought, well, 22 men used to live there. You know, it's an area about as big as this with 22 men living in it. You know, some of them were on watch and the others were off watch, you know. But when you think there's 22 men living in an area like this, you look at it and think, well, how did we ever do that without getting on one another's nerves? Conditions were very good. I enjoyed the consort. It was a nice ship. We had a good skipper, good officers, just a happy crew.
Did you get on each other's nerves?
Oh, occasionally, yes. Yes, occasionally.
What type of things would irritate?
Just the banter at times. You know, if you're boxed up for a long time, then you'd take the mickey out of a Brummie or a Geordie or a Scouser or whatever. And the 9 times out of 10 it just floats past, you know. And you sort of throw the banter back and forward at one another. But occasionally it would get a bit serious, you know. Then you would either have to get the gloves and go on the quarterdeck or just try and pass it off, you know. Come on, lads, split it up, you know. But occasionally it went out to the gloves on the quarterdeck to sort it out.
Did you get involved in any...
Well, I was a boxer, so I didn't get involved in many fights.
What weight did you box at?
Middle.
How many stone is that?
11-3. Yeah, I was quite good as well, so I had a little bit of respect, if you like.
But some of the others did get in the ring.
Oh yes, yeah. We used to spar on the quarterdeck just for sparring.
But I mean, to settle disputes.
Oh yes, yeah.
Was that common?
Wasn't uncommon.
Did it work?
Oh yeah, it clears the deck, it clears the air. If you can imagine a destroyer is at twice the width of this room, excuse me, and there's 22 men living here and there's 22 men living over there, it's quite tense at times, you know, even though this is our mess, that's their mess, you know, and you stay over there, it's you're not in our mess. So you got that slight conflict between those people. You know, it's when you're in close contact like that, it's quite likely to spark off every now and again, but not often. I mean, we used to sit under the sea boats and sing and just enjoy the stories and of the older sailors, you know, the wartime sailors, and just enjoy stories. Where do you come from? Tell us about it, you know. They're just pleasant guys.
What type of stories did they tell you about the war?
Well, we had a couple of one off the Barham, and he told me about that when he managed to get into the water, and then the ship exploded. The Barham was a battleship. He told me about that, you know, being torpedoed. And I had a cousin who was torpedoed 7 times, so he told me enough to raise your hair. But it was years later when I saw the Barham on the newsreel of what happened to it that they really put it into perspective, because the ship turned turtle, and then the lads were climbing up the hull of the ship to try and find somewhere to rest when it exploded, went off like a gigantic bomb. Absolutely incredible. But yeah, they used to tell us the stories of the Russian convoys and taking Hong Kong and being at the signing of the end of the war in Japan.
Now, can you tell me more about the duties of the ship?
Yes. The ship, on the southern cruise, we were just showing the flag at various places. You know, you have all the sultans of Manila and Borneo, and you show the flag in various places, and you're invited out to functions, garden parties, things like this. The officers in one area and the ratings in another area, but you're invited out and you're treated very well, and as though they did appreciate you being there. At the time, all the rubber plantation owners were being pestered by communists, and we went into a couple of these plantations, again showing the navies here, you know, and we took photographs of the board, and it sort of said, "You are now entering private property and trespassers will be shot," which we thought was funny.
What type of things would be done for you in the way of hospitality when you went to one of the garden parties put on by the...
There'd be drinks. There would be drinks, food, usually entertainment. You know, the military band, something like that, would be there. Just a nice day out in very pleasant surroundings, and how the other half live, if you like. And at that time, we came from limited backgrounds. I lived in a small town just outside Blackpool, and I think the furthest I'd ever been was Blackpool or Preston. You know, that was my the extent of my travels, and suddenly I was in foreign places and tomorrow I would be somewhere else, you know, and it was wonderful.
Did the seamen behave themselves in these?
Oh, they got drunken. But normally you were well chaperoned. You know, we had petty officers who, if you'd had too much to drink, he'd take you away, go on, get out of there. But normally you were there and you were representing your country, so you really did behave yourself. You had one or two of the idiots that, but invariably they try and keep them out of it. But you're showing, you know, we're British, and at that particular time we were very proud of it, weren't we?
And then what happened next?
Well, we would have shore leave. There's a big holiday camp in Penang that was taken over by the forces, and we would have a bit of shore leave there, and that was lovely. We thoroughly enjoyed that. We'd go down into Singapore, the New World, the Old World, lovely Chinese villages, and they were all lights and oriental. It was the East, the Far East, you know, and it was lovely. Thoroughly enjoyed it. We did refits from time to time, and we would go into HMS Terror, which is Singapore. There was the first time we ever tasted tiger beer. Now, tiger beer is like a lager, but we'd be drinking San Miguel, warm San Miguel, for ages in Hong Kong, you know, it's awful beer. And you're drifting from place to place and drinking different types of concoctions. So to get a pint of beer was, oh, and it was good beer. But the only problem was the glasses. When they moulded the glasses, there might be a beetle in the bottom in the glass, and it would be sort of moulded into the glass. You pick your pint up and take a drink, and yeah. Be a big beetle or a fly or something, and they mould it into the glass.
Was this done deliberately?
I don't think so. I think it just did it, you know. I mean, it was good enough for us. But we had a big naffy club in Penang. That was excellent. We used to go in there and relaxation. Go and have a quiet hour if you wanted, or you go and have a drink, meal. You know, Hong Kong was the same. We had the big Fleet Club there. That was quite excellent. The first thing you did was go and have a nice meal. Big eats, as we called it. Sit down and have a nice meal and then go and have a drink. Occasionally you were broke. So I used to go and have a game of bingo, try and win a few bob. But it was a nice life, you know. I mean, there's a swimming pool in the dockyards, and I was a good swimmer and a good diver, so I used to spend a lot of time in there. I was a sport man, football, cricket, boxing, you name it, I did it. The only thing, I played rugby once, broke my collarbone, so I didn't go again. Cricket, I was all right, you know. So for sport, there was plenty of sport available, you know. And I look at Happy Valley now, it's beautiful. I played football on the, you know, when it was a pitch.
Where's Happy Valley?
In Hong Kong. It's now a big race course, and, you know, it's wonderful.
And what about the work side of it? Was that straightforward, or were there any problems doing the work in the ship?
No. We had refits quite regularly. You know, we had one in Hong Kong, one in HMS Terror, and we had one in Japan. We went up to Japan as well. That was a nice went into Nanking, not Nanking, Sasebo, and we went to Hiroshima, had a look at Hiroshima. Well,
what did you see there?
By the time we got there, it was just a shanty town. And if you stood on the hill and looked down, Hiroshima is in a valley. And it was just a shanty town of little wooden shacks and the remains of the buildings. There was one, it must have been the town hall or something like that, and it's got a dome on it, and all that was left of it was the walls, and the dome was sort of framework, you know. There was a bridge over a river, and the blast, and there was a horse and cart going over the river, and it had burned the outline onto the wall of the bridge. It was, when you think that, when you looked at it and you thought that one bomb had done all that, you know, you wonder where you're going. It was, because there was nothing left of Hiroshima. Nagasaki, we went to Nagasaki, Curie, Yokohama, Yokosuka.
How did Nagasaki compare with Hiroshima?
Not quite as bad. There were still buildings in operation in Nagasaki, but again, a lot of it is just shanty town. You know, built hurriedly. You know, the sort of on the main streets, they had sort of wooden shops, framework shops. More like market stalls, if you like. But Hiroshima, we sort of got the view from the hill, so that really, when you thought, wow, you know, this was a thriving city, and it's wiped out with one bomb, you know, it's terrifying.
Did you have any sense that Japan was a rising power at that time?
No. When we were there, it was absolutely desert. They had the Wonsan lighters, you know. Instead of Ronson, they were Wonsan, and they had miniature cameras. You know, the engineering is just brilliant. You know, they had cameras and lighters by the million, but nothing else. Tea sets, you know, pottery and things like that. I think we all bought a tea set and dinner set. Tokyo, I went to Tokyo, and Tokyo was nothing spectacular in those days, you know, nothing like when you see it on the television these days. It was just like a big town. Yokohama was a big naval, American naval base. They'd taken over the Japanese barracks and things like that. And Yokohama was the same, Yokosuka. That was a big naval repair place. Well, that's where we went for a refit.
What were relations like with the American Navy?
With the American forces, as always, British forces and American forces don't mix. Wherever they go, the price rises. So they're not very well liked by British forces. So we used to fight with them. Particularly a place called Sasebo. We had one massive fight there that finished up with baseball bats and everything, you know.
Were you in that one?
Yes, and we got sent to sea for about 3 months. We never came ashore for 3 months. Teach you a lesson.
What happened in the fight? Can you remember?
I think it all started. The girls were dancing girls, you know, your taxi girls, they were called. And you bought tickets to dance with them, if you wanted to dance. Most of us just went for a beer. And I think one of our boys, seamen, took a shine to one of these girls and tried to keep her for himself, and the American wanted to dance with her, and the fraction started there. There was two dance halls, the Takamazuka and the Kasbah, alongside each other, and finished up with everybody piling out of the Takamazuka into the Kasbah to fight. But the American patrols, they take no prisoners. They just come in with the nightsticks and whack, and the other one throws them out, you know, whack, whack. And they don't hit us, just their own men, you know. So it was wasn't very long before we were by ourselves, you know. They either cleared out when the patrols came. We did the same. If our patrols came, we disappeared. But this particular night, you know, the Kasbah was ours, and the Takamazuka were, until we came to come back to the ships. And the dock road and the main road, there's only two roads down to the ships, and they were lined with baseball bats waiting for us. So there was a fence to the sea, and I went over the fence and into the water and swam to the jetty and sat on the jetty soaking wet waiting for them to come. But it was quite fierce, you know. There's a lot of both sides in hospital when he finished.
There Who was waiting for you with the baseball bat?
Americans.
The American sailors?
Yeah, well, army and sailors. Yeah, that's quite fierce. So when we went into Sasebo the next time, the Americans said, were you here the last time? No, just joined the ship.
Did you punch anybody?
Oh yeah, I was quite a character in those days.
Who did you hit?
An American sailor, you know. The Americans used to in that particular fight, you know, anybody who came near, you let one go at them.
Was it with fists?
Oh yes, yeah, yeah. No. In those days, it was man to man stuff, wasn't it? You know, if you had a fight with someone, you went outside and had a fight with someone, and nobody joined in. You know, it was just you and him. And when you say, "Oh, that's enough," had enough, shook hands and went back in, had a drink. But today, you know, you have a fight with someone and 15 more join in with baseball bats on you. Different world today. But it's just normal life in the forces, you know. I've seen it so many times with the Americans and the British. The British Army and the Navy get along great together. Very little fighting. You know, but put the Americans there and away we go.
So they weren't using broken glasses?
Oh, no.
Chairs?
No. No, it was all fists.
When the American military police hit them, where did they hit them?
Anywhere.